Start this and this. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Thank you all for coming. Mirtz Hashem, I hope this to be the first of the many times in our series. I'm sorry? I would love one, but I can't eat it right now. Otherwise, nobody would hear me. I'll keep it for later. Thank you. Thank you, Marty. So I hope this is one of the first of many times that we have to learn together. Our series is on Maseches Horios. Maseches Horios is the shortest Masechta in Talmud Bavli in Shas. It's 13 pages. It's also one of the few times where the Yerushalmi Masechta is longer than the Bavli Masechta. I think the Yerushalmi Masechta is 18 pages. And it's a very interesting Masechta in terms of topic. So Horios literally means teachings, and the vast majority of the Masechta deals with when a court or when another Jewish public figure, like the king or the Kohen Gadol, makes a mistaken ruling. The first perek, which is the first five blot, covers when the court makes a mistake. The second and first half of the third perek deal with when those other public figures make a mistake. And then the last half of the third perek just deals with a lot of interesting stories about rabbinic politics.
When you say about mistake, what are you talking about?
Okay, so we'll get to what a mistake means, because mistake is a technical term, and that's what a lot of the first perek deals with. Very, very superficially, there are different types of karbanos that a person can bring. So when we're dealing with an individual, you bring a karban chatas when you do an aveira by mistake, when you think that you're allowed to and you're actually not, and it's a sin that if you would do it on purpose, you would get kares or excommunication for. So what we're going to see is that the Torah tells us that when you don't make the mistake, but when the Beis Din makes a mistake, you don't bring a regular karban. Rather, Beis Din brings a karban on behalf of everybody who followed their ruling. And so what's interesting then is that this Masechta, both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, deal with how we conceptualize leaders making mistakes. And the first parak deals with Torah leaders making mistakes. And it's really quite interesting. Today, and we'll see if we finish, if not, we'll finish up next time, is going to be a bit of an introduction. We're going to learn the Mishnah, and we're going to learn one of the Bali Tosfos on the Mishnah, and we're going to use that as a springboard to talk about what constitutes a court. So as I said, the first perek deals with what happens when the court makes a mistake, but as we'll see, it's not every court. It's a machlokas, it's a debate amongst the Mishnayos and the Rishonim, what court we're referring to. But before we get to that, at the beginning of the packet that I gave you, this is a photocopy from the Art Scroll Gemara. I hope they don't sue me for photocopying it. But the first page deals with psukim. It deals with the sections in the Torah that talk about things in our Masechta. So the second section on this page, I'm sorry, I'm not able to share this page because I photocopied it, is the Par Helem Davar Shel Tzibur. Refers to, and they translate it as, a bull for a communal error. So let's just look at the psukim. It's literally four psukim. We'll read it. We'll try to, point out certain nuances. So the first pasuk is, V'imkol Adas Yisrael Yishgu. If the entire assembly of Israel will make a mistake, v'ne'alam davar me'enei ha'kahal, and a matter becomes obscure or is hidden from the eyes of the congregation, v'asu achas mikol mitzvos Hashem, and they do one of the mitzvos that Hashem said, asher lo se'asena, which Hashem said they should not do, meaning they transgress something, v'ashemu, and they have become guilty, v'noda'a hachatas asher chatu aleha, and it became known that they made a mistake, v'ikrivu hakal, and the congregation should offer par ben bakar lechatas, a cow in its first year as a karban chatas, Vehiviyu oso lifnei ohel moed, and you should bring it in front of the entrance to the Mishkan. V'samchu ziknei ha'eda es yideihem al rosh hapar, and the elders of the community should rest their hands on this cow, lifnei Hashem, before God. V'shachat es hapar lifnei Hashem, and they should slaughter the cow in front of God. V'hevi ha'koin ha'mashiach midam hapar el ohel moed. And the anointed Kohen, and we don't know who the anointed Kohen is, but there's an anointed Kohen. I'm sorry? Again, it doesn't. There's different ways that a Kohen Gadol is appointed, but the Kohen Mashiach means a special Kohen, at least. It's probably the Kohen Gadol. Midam Hapar, he should bring the blood, El Ohamoid, into the tent itself and do things. Yes. Yeah. So it is a bull. So it is a male cow. Yeah.
You also inserted 1 year.
You said 1 year. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it said 1 year. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. No, it's not. It doesn't say that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I made a mistake. I'm sorry about that. So these are the psukim. Now let's look at the if you turn the page. So now we get to the Mishnah. So let's do the Mishnah. Let me now share this with people. Give me 1 second here. Hold on. Hold on here. Sorry. Shas. Oreo. Oreo, sorry, I'm just trying to get it up on the computer for people. One second. Okay, so while I'm just waiting for this, if you just looked at those psukim, so who's making the mistake?
It's the whole congregation. It's the whole nation.
Right, so the nation. There's no mention of who? There's no mention of the Kohanim. There's no mention of a Beis Din. There's no mention of a Beis Din at all. So that's something interesting, and that's really where the Torah Sheba'al Peh begins to diverge. So now let's take a look at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Horu Beis Din. La'avar al achas mikol mitzvos ha'amuros batorah. If the court teaches to transgress one of the mitzvos that is mentioned in the Torah, v'holach hayachid v'asa shogeg al pihem, and a single individual went to and a single individual. I'm going to have to turn that off. I'm sorry. And a single individual went and transgressed based on the Beis Din's teaching. Bein she'asu va'asa imahen, whether they did it simultaneously. Bein she'asu va'asa achareihen, whether they did it and he did it after them. Bein she'lo asu va'asa, whether the court never actually transgressed it, but he did. Potter, he is exempt from bringing a karban. Why? Mipnei she'tala be'Beis Din, because he is relying on the teachings of the Beis Din. Then the flip side, we'll see, we'll do another shir, because that's interesting. We'll do that later. If you go down to the second to last line of the Mishnah, Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule. Hatole be'atzmo chayiv, if you rely on your own intuition, you're liable to bring a chatas. V'hatole be'Beis Din pater, but if you rely on the teaching of Beis Din, you are pater. Okay, so this Mishnah, and we'll see where they get it from, this Mishnah introduces a new player from what the Torah says. It introduces the Beis Din. And this is just a refrain that is echoed in the Mefarshim on the Chumash. So now let's take a look at the source sheet itself. Here we go. I'm going to make this bigger so that people can see on the sheet. So we have in source number one that pasuk again from the beginning, v'im kol adas Yisrael. If the entire community makes a mistake, V'nelam davar me'enei ha'kahol. And something was hidden from the eyes of the congregation, and then they do one of the mitzvahs. So there's actually two groups, there's two terms here that are used in terms of a subject. There's Adas Yisrael and Einei HaKahol. So those are two separate terms. It could be referring to the same group of people, or maybe it's not. And as we'll see, this is a machlokes in the Mefarshim on Chumash. So if you look at Rashi in source number two, Rashi in source number two says, Adas Yisrael Elu HaSanhedrin. So Rashi, based on what we'll see is the Sifra, or the Toras Kohanim, says that Adas Yisrael refers to the Sanhedrin. If you look at source number three, the Ralbag, he has a different interpretation. He says, V'im kol Adas Yisrael yishku, ratzo lomar kol Yisrael. What does it mean? It means literally, kol Adas Yisrael, the entire nation. And so how would he translate, and then, I don't have it here, but he says, Einei HaKahol, who does that refer to? That refers to the Sanhedrin. So the Ralbag argues with Rashi and says these are actually two groups of people. Adas Yisrael, or Kol Adas Yisrael, refers to the people that are doing the sin. And it was hidden from the Einei HaKahol, meaning not the eyes of the nation, but the eyes of the community, meaning the community of scholars, which refers to the Sanhedrin. Uses what?
The Vulgata.
The Vulgata. Oh, okay. I don't know how the Vulgate translates it. I'll have to look up what the Vulgate says. If you look in source number four, Shaddal, it was a very interesting figure. Shaddal lived in Italy. He was a Talmud Chacham, but his commentary on Chumash is a little bit different. He does not follow Chazal often. And if you see over here, he has a very interesting interpretation. What?
He had the best translation of
He was an expert translator of Tanakh into Italian. So Shaddal has an interesting interpretation. He says, Kol Adas Yisrael kimashma'o. It's like the Ralbag says, you take it literally, the entire community. V'zeh omnam, but, however, lo yiyah rak b'shigagas ha-manhigim v'hashoftim. He says it's just practically impossible for the entire community to make a mistake without it coming from top down. Meaning it's impossible if you just take the pasuk literally. It says when all of the Jewish people sin, but that's only possible if the mistake originates from the Sanhedrin. Aval hakasuv lo hizkir ha-Sanhedrin. It doesn't mention the court. V'lo hizkir klal ha-Ras Beis Din. And there's no reference to any Beis Din ruling. So you'll see, he'll get to that in a second. Ulefi hapshat, and according to this interpretation, echad hu shetia shugaga ba'avur ha'ras Beis Din, it doesn't matter whether the mistake emanates from a ruling of Beis Din, o ha'ras kohen o ha'melech. It could be from a religious or political leader, o shetia l'lomor, at war. He goes even further and it says, it could be that there was no central, you know, leadership figure. It was, like a town council, that the town council decided to do something, and it turns out that it was a mistake. So what we have over here is an interesting machlokas rishonim, but it really stems from something in the pasuk. Chazal interpret the Torah to mean that there's this top-down approach of a religious body, or according to some, maybe even a political body, that are telling the Jewish people what to do. But if you actually look at the pasuk, it doesn't say that at all. And so in order to interpret it, some people say that it just refers to the Jewish people, and just practically that can only happen from Chachamim. Or they translate some of these bodies of Adas Yisrael to say, even though that could mean a community, it also really means a specific community, i.e. the Jewish ruling body. So if you turn to source number seven, this is where Chazal come from. This is the Sifra. I'm sorry, I don't have that in English, but source number seven is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. So it says, Adas Yisrael. That's the language of the pasuk, the community of the Jewish people. Yachol, I might think, b'chol ha'eda hakasuv midaber. It literally refers to the entire community. Talmud lomar, but the Torah teaches us kan eda. It says eda over here. Ulahalan, and later on, by Zakein Mamre, by an elder that's rebelling against the court, it also says that same language. Ma eda amura lahalan beistin afkan beistin. So we have what's called the Gzeira Shava. It uses the same word eda, and so just like over there it refers to the court, so to over here it also refers to a court. But court is also not specific. Or it could say, Ma eda amur lahalon b'kohen gadol. If you're going to see in another section, it also, eda refers to a kohen gadol. So why don't we say that? So Talmud lomar adas Yisrael. So therefore it says the community of Israel, and so there's a specific community of including Yisraelim, i.e. the Beis Din. So ha'eda ha'miyuchedes shebi Yisrael, the special community of the Jewish people, the Ezozo, and who is that referring to? Zu Sanhedrin Gedola. This refers to the Supreme Court. Now we get a new term. It doesn't just mean any Beis Din. It means the Supreme Court, Hayosheves Belishkas Hagazis, that sits in the chamber of the hewn stone in the Beis Hamikdash. Now we're not going to get into this right now, but parenthetically, there is a machlokas in the Achronim as to what happens if at various points in Jewish history, the court was either kicked out or chose not to sit there, but the court was still functioning. So do they have the status when it comes to this carbon as a Supreme Court if they're not seated in that body? From here, it sounds like they wouldn't be. From other places in the Yerushalmi, it sounds like that at some points in Jewish history, they were sitting in other places in Yerushalayim, probably during some times of Roman occupation and some tough times with the government. And it says that the halachas do apply there. So it's a bit of a machlokes. But what we have now introduced is yet a third category, that it's not just a court, but it's the Supreme Court. It's Adas Yisrael. Just to bring that home, this is actually a machlokas tanoi. This is a machlokas in the Mishnah. If you go back, to source number 5, so this is from another Mishnah later on in our Perek in Horios. So the Mishnah says, "Horu beistin shel echad min hashvatim." So we'll see. This is there's a machlokas in the Rishonim as to how the judicial system was set up. But it seems like that there were local courts in each city, and there was the Supreme Court. But primarily, at least in the ideal world, most cities were comprised of shvatim of one tribe. And so just like we have like sort of district courts now that like rule over or administer to a number of courts throughout an area, so this Mishnah seems to imply that each shevet, each tribe, had their own Supreme Court.
When you say Supreme Court, you mean 23,
71? So it could either 23 or 71, probably 23. It's probably 23. Right, so this is talking about in
the first temple.
Yeah, so this is talking about during the first Beis Hamikdash.
Look what's source 6. What it says. Sanhedrin.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to Tosfos. We'll get to Tosfos in a second. I'm not there yet. We're not up to Tosfos yet. But anyway, so each tribe had their own Supreme Court. So the Mishnah says, "Horu Beis Din shel echad min hashvatim." So let's say the Supreme Court of one tribe made a ruling, the Asa Osa Shevet Alpia, and that particular tribe followed them incorrectly. So Oso Shevet Huchayv, so that tribe is obligated to bring a carbon, Vishar Kol Hashvatim Peturin, and the others are exempt. Divrei Reb Yehuda, this is what Reb Yehuda says. V'chachamim Omer, but the Chachamim disagree. Ein Chayavin Ela Al Horios Beistin Hagado Bilvad. They're only liable for the Supreme Court, meaning just a single shevet doesn't count. Why? Shenemar v'im kol adas Yisrael yishku v'lo adas oso shevet. It says adas Yisrael and not a shevet. So what we now have over here is that this pasuk, kol adas Yisrael, means very different things to many different people, and the pasuk seems to be intentionally vague. Is adas Yisrael a community? Is it a shevet? Is it a beis din? It seems to be somewhat all of the above. And I don't think that is a coincidence. The court is sometimes referred to as a micro community. And yet over here, it's not even clear who's doing the mistake. Maybe it's the court. Maybe it's the people. But then there's another function of enei hakahol. There's another function of the eyes of a community, and that's different from in Eda. There's a different word here. There's Eda and Kahal. So the Malbim, on this pasuk, he says, the Malbim says that Eda refers to a structured community. Kahal, he brings from various psukim, refers to one that's in disarray. Brings various proofs from the pasuk. Or not disarray, but at least undifferentiated. It's just a mass of people. Yeah, unincorporated. So Adas, Eda refers to something that's mizuman, that's prepared, that's ordered, that has a hierarchy potentially.
Same word in Arabic.
Oh, okay.
Same word in Arabic.
Okay.
Ada. When you say Ada, that's what they mean.
Okay. So what he?
Not Ada, but Ada.
Ada. Okay. So the Enei HaKahal, the eyes of the community, that's referring to when the community is in disarray. So it may be referring to the same body, but the nuance of the pasuk is highlighting that the relationship between the Sanhedrin and the community has changed. When they're telling them what to do and they're following, so they seem to almost be the same thing. But now when they make a mistake, there's already a disconnect over here. So we'll try to explain all of these different textual nuances.
There was a disconnect because you had the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, and they were already mixed.
Yeah, no. So I'm not talking about amongst Klal Yisrael. I'm talking about when the leaders make a mistake, there becomes a disconnect. The society begins to fall apart, and that's what this Karban is trying to fix. Now, let's do that Tosfos. So our Mishnah, going back to our Mishnah. So our Mishnah said, Horu Beis Din. So which Beis Din is it referring to? Right? We quoted a later Mishnah, in source number 5 from Daf Hey, that has a machlokes. There's a machlokes in the Mishnah, whether it refers to the Sanhedrin HaGadol or any Beis Din that's in charge of a Shevet. Our Mishnah doesn't say. So if you look in source number 5, in source number 6, so Tosfos here, now Tosfos is just interesting. Our Masechta is very interesting. So if you look at the page of our Masechta, right, so you have the Gemara in the middle, and then on the side, on both sides of the page, you have Rashi. It's probably not Rashi. There are a couple of Rishonim here that are probably not who they actually are. So Rashi is probably not Rashi. Rabbeinu Hananel is probably not Rabbeinu Hananel, some Italian Rishon. Tosfos, it is Tosfos, but it's not the regular Tosfos. It's a much shorter style commentary. If you look, it's more like a Rashi. So nobody is who they say they are here. They're still all Rishonim. They're still really good, but many of them are not who they say they are. So the Tosfos that we have over here, so it's on source number 6. If you want to look on the Gemara page itself, it's the first one in the Masechta. So Horu Beis Din, Tosfos says, Haim Sanhedrin Gedola. So Tosfos says, this is referring to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Kididarshinan b'Torahs Kohanim, as we saw in Torahs Kohanim. Okay. And how do we know that? Because Adas Yisrael refers to the special community. Okay, so that's the Tosfos that I wanted to learn with you. And Tosfos says that our Mishnah is saying that it's referring dafka to the Beis Din HaGadol. So
source number 5, it seems like
Yeah. Yeah.
ולכן, it seemed like there were two of the חכמים אומרים, אין חייבים, etc., etc. It really reminded me of Eva Nidach, שבה only Sanhedrin הגדולה יכולה, וגם כאן אותו דבר.
So it's an interesting parallel that you're drawing to your Hani Dachas. I haven't seen that in the Gemara other than here. I'm not sure. It's interesting. I don't know. What I want to talk. Yeah, I'm. You have a question? Yes. So. So what happens when there's no Beis HaMikdash, but they make a mistake and there's no carbon to bring, or there is a carbon to bring?
Well, that's a good question.
So, when there's no Beis HaMikdash around, so, I mean, if there was a Mishkan, you would bring it at the Mishkan. But assuming that there's no Mishkan and no actual Beis HaMikdash, there's really only one carbon that you're potentially able to bring, which we actually seem to have some historical record of people bringing, which is the Carbon Pesach. They still try to do it nowadays, but the Code of Justinian, which was written well after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, says that it was forbidden to bring the Carbon Pesach. Now, he wouldn't forbid it if this wasn't happening. So there seems to be some indication of people bringing a Carbon Pesach afterwards. And a lot of people try to justify that. Other karbanos we can't bring without a Beis HaMikdash, and particularly this one, because you have to actually go into the Beis HaMikdash for the blood offerings. So in the absence of being able to bring the karban, what can you do? So the Gemara in, I think, Shabbos says that whether it's the community or whether it's a person individually, if you find out that you're liable to bring a karban, you're supposed to keep a ledger. And you're supposed to keep a ledger. And so if the Beis HaMikdash is built, you know what to bring. If the person dies, then they don't have to bring any more karbanos. But the community, as we'll see, the community will still have to bring. So when Mashiach comes, if we find some record of us having to bring a karban, we will theoretically have to bring it. So that's, I would say, the answer. But when there's no Beis HaMikdash, we can't bring this one. What I want to do with the time remaining is to kind of frame why this is halacha is specific to a Beis Din and the Beis Din HaGadol, according to the way the Chachamim hold, and why it would be the code name for the Beis Din HaGadol would be Adas Yisrael, the community of Israel. A lot of this is based on an idea of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his Yahrzeit drashas, expounded on the role of Beis Din. And Rav Lichtenstein, in his Shiurim on Horios, elaborated on it and critiqued it in certain ways. That's what I want to do with you today, not only because it's interesting about Beis Din, but because this will actually frame the rest of this perek, meaning what is so problematic about the Beis Din making a mistake. And why does that essentially exempt us from bringing a karban? In other words, just to spoil it a little bit, when we make a mistake as an Eda, we seem to have an Eda bring a karban on our behalf. The Beis Din is Adas Yisrael. The Beis Din somehow is the Jewish people. And so somehow we're actually bringing a karban, just we're bringing the karban through Beis Din. It's not that Beis Din needs to bring the karban. It's that we need to bring the karban, but Beis Din seems to do it on our behalf almost. And we'll see, that has a lot of ramifications, which is what happens if, we'll see, there's another Tosfos later on, which we'll get to, which we'll come back to. But let's talk about what the role of Beis Din is. In many ways, it would seem that way.
By a small segment of the Tzibur, if you like, even if it's the Sanhedrin HaGadol, it's still a small, it's not the full carbon tubor of carbon tormid, carbon, you know, of any of those.
Yeah, so this, you're correct that it is a carbon tubor in the sense that it's brought on behalf of the Jewish people, but there is a difference in that who do we say does smicha? The ziknei ha'eda, the elders of the community. They don't do that by the other regular karbanos. It's just the kohen that's supposed to do it. So let's take a look in source number 8. So if we turn the page, this is also a Gemara in Horios a little bit later. Amar Reb Yochanan, Meya Sheyashvu Lahoros. If 100 people sat down to rule, Ein Chayavin Ad Sheyoru Kulan. They're not liable to bring a karban as a community unless they all agree. Shenemar, V'im kol adas Yisrael yishku, ad sheyishku kul, and it says kol to mean the entire community that's there, that's ruling. Now, how big was the Sanhedrin HaGadol? 71 or 70, depending on how you calculate it. So what everybody asks is, well, how are we getting to 100 over here? So that's going to be one of the questions that we're going to deal with. And this is particularly problematic for the Rambam. The Rambam says explicitly in source number 9, based in Hagadol, Shebo Lahem Machlokes, when a based in Hagadol has an argument.
Court.
Right. So, but as Rambam says, court packing is illegal. Bein Bedine Nefashos, whether it's a capital offense, Bein Bedine Mamanos, or whether it is a monetary offense. Bain bidine Torah, or even if it's a din Torah, what does din Torah mean here? Yeah, exactly. Meaning it's not an actual case, but they're just trying to figure out the halacha. In mosifin alehen, you cannot add any judges. You cannot pack the court. Ella donin elu keneged elu. Rather, they're just supposed to duke it out. V'holchan achar harov shelahen, and follow the majority. So this is this Gemara is a big question on the Rambam. How can the Rambam say that it's you can't pack the court if the Gemara seems to have this case of having 100 people? So the Mishnah Lamelech, in source number 10, he asks this question. He says, Mikan Kashali, this is a problem. Hod Damrin and Perikama de Horius, this that we say in the first chapter of Horius, Amar Reb Yochanan, Mea Sheyashvu Lahoros, Ein Chayavin Ad Sheyoru Kulan. Dehechi Mishkachas La Mea Sheyashvu Lahoros. How could it be that you have 100 people? Dehahasam Bisanhedre Gedola Mairi. We're talking about, according to Tosfos and according to the Rambam, we're talking about the based in Hagadol. Vikevan de Kaimalan. And since we know, De Imnechmaklu Ein Mosifin Al Ayan Aleph. So since we know that you're not able to add on, Mikol Shekain to Betchilei Moshivin Yosher Me'ayinav. So obviously you can't just decide to pack it preemptively. So how does he answer that? V'ulai, and he gives this bizarre suggestion, which it is actually, the Yerushalmi seems to say that this happened. Kavanas Rabbi Yochanan, the Afilu Im Avru V'yashvu Yosher Me'ayinav, even if they incorrectly added more people, so even though it's wrong to add people, if you add people, they still need to all be in agreement in order to be liable for a carbon. Yeah, so
why is it kula?
So that the Gemara says there's a gzeiras hakasuv that says that it can't just be a majority; it has to be a unanimous position. Yeah, so it's very rare, but how do you have 70 people agreeing? I don't know. But what the Mishnah Lamelech is suggesting is even more bizarre, which is it's not only that we have 100 people that are agreeing, you have 100 people which they illegally packed the court with, and the Torah is saying, nevertheless, you still need to. You have to have all the illegal people agreeing also. Which is, and then he acknowledges like that this is ridiculous. That he's like, well, but the Torah's not talking about where you made a mistake, so how do I know this? And he throws up his hands and says, I don't know what the Rambam means. As we'll see, I didn't bring them down just because there's a bunch of places, but there's a bunch of places in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi that both say, that use this example of 100 people coming to sit in the court, that they all have to agree. In fact, the Yerushalmi also talks about cases where they're illegally packed the court. So
you know what I mean,
right? So it could be hyperbole, but why didn't it just say then, you know, 71? Like it's a set number. It's not like we're just trying to say a lot. It should be a set number. So
it is a set number,
right? But then why? So first of all, the Yerushalmi does seem to just entertain the possibility that the head court is just illegally having more people, which is very interesting. I don't know where that right. So
what the issue is? The question is really what the issue is. Why are they packing the court?
Right, and it doesn't
explain what the issue. If we decided that then 71 will make a decision. So it's a priori, any issue we decide by 71, not by anything else.
But he's saying today is 71, tomorrow's 100. So if tomorrow's 100, okay, what's the issue they're debating?
Okay, tell Biden to make this appeal.
So we don't, the Yerushalmi doesn't say why.
They win the court.
They do, yeah. So the Yerushalmi, who's the only Talmudic body that says that it was illegal, it doesn't give a rationale. One possibility, and this is just me, I don't know. One possibility is that we know from the Gemaras that sometimes there were tzedukim on the court, sometimes there were less scrupulous people, and there's a story where Shimon ben Shetach basically called down a malach to essentially strike down all the people that refused to stand up to King Yanai. When he basically wanted to throw his weight around on the court. So it could be that this was a defense mechanism that they sort of had backup people when they didn't consider all those other people to be legitimate members. I don't know. That's just me. I really don't know. But that's one possibility. As we'll see though, Rav Soloveitchik and others have a different approach, which really stems from what the role of the court is. And Rav Soloveitchik argues that the court actually has two roles. If you look in source number 9, source number 11. If you look in source number 11, it talks about some of the functions of the high court. I would say that a Supreme Court, you know, in America, the Supreme Court judges cases. However, the Supreme Court also has or the president of the Supreme Court actually has an additional role, which we saw a few times recently, which is that when the president is impeached, he presides over the Senate. Oftentimes, a Supreme Court justice will swear in a president. Those aren't strictly jobs of a Supreme Court judge, but it's something that either tradition or the Constitution gives them because of their stature almost as a ceremonial position. And so the Rambam actually outlines things that are very similar. So in source number 11, this comes from the Halachos of Sanhedrin. Ein ma'amidin melech al pi beistin, ela al pi beistin shel shivim ve'echad. We don't appoint a king without the approval of the 71 Supreme Court. Ve'ein osin Sanhedrin ketana. You can only create a smaller court, l'chol shevet v'shevet, a Supreme Court of each tribe. So again, this seems to say that the Rambam holds that a tribal Supreme Court has 23, ulechal ir v'ir, or a city court, ela al pi based in shel shivim v'echad. In other words, in order to create a court, you need the higher court to legislate. Ve'ein done in lo es ha-shevet shehudach, in ir hani, a shevet, an entire tribe that has worshipped in avodah zarah, ve'lo es navi sheker, or even a false prophet, v'lo es kohen gadol b'dinei nefashos, or a capital crime against the kohen gadol, ela b'beistin ha-gadol, except by the Supreme Court. V'chein, and similarly, ein osin zakein mamre, you can't judge a rebellious elder, v'lo osin ir hanidachas, or a city that has worshipped idols, v'lo mashkin es ha-sotan, you can't even test the sota, who's an individual, ela b'beistin ha-gadol, without the Supreme Court. Ve'ein mosifin al ha'ir, you can't add on to Yerushalayim. Ve'lo ha'azaros, or the temple courtyard. Ve'lo motzin le'melchemes harishus, and you can't go out to war voluntarily. Ulumedidas ha'chalo, or measuring empty space and areas. Ela al pi beistin ha'gadol, except for the beistin ha'gadol, shene'emar, as it says, kol ha'davar ha'gadol yaviu eilecha. Any big thing, you need to do. So the Supreme Court has one function which doesn't seem to have anything to do with actual court. It's just when something big is happening, the Beis Din HaGadol needs to be the face of it. Even if what?
Even if there's a king?
Yeah.
I have one question. In all Masechet Sotah, when I learned it twice, at least, I don't remember that whole Beit HaDin HaGadol Shemashkin et Aisha.
Really? I don't know.
I don't see how you just sneak it in. The only thing in what I'm thinking is since they didn't, it's a Beit HaMikdash, since they shkata gazit and said Beit HaMikdash, as if it's an Indian Abedot. That's the thinking of Rambam.
So maybe the Rambam is saying what you're saying, that it was sort of like by proxy of the great court since they're there. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know.
Not single time mentioned that
I don't know what to tell you, but at the
So just
to bring it back in, so the Rambam clearly identifies one of the roles of the Sanhedrin as being what the Brisker Rav calls Baalei Klal Yisrael, essentially the owners or the representative. The Rav used the term essentially being the representatives of Klal Yisrael. That when there's something big that happens, whether it's judicial, whether it's political, whether it's just a spectacle like Sota. Again, Sota didn't impact many people, but because the Torah made it into a public spectacle, they also got to be part of that. That has nothing to do with jurisprudence. Then we have another section, which is source number 12, which sounds a little bit more familiar. Based in HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim, the Supreme Court in Yerushalayim, Haim Ikar Torah Sheba'al Peh. They are the primary source of Torah tradition, of the oral law. V'heim amudei ha-hora'ah. And they are the pillar of teaching. U'mehem chok u'mishpat yotzei l'chol Yisrael. And from them emanates judgment for all of Klal Yisrael. V'alehen, and on them, ivticha Torah, the Torah, relied on them. Shene'emar, al pi haTorah asher yorucha, you have to follow whatever this body tells you to do about the Torah. Zu mitzvah saseh, that's a positive commandment. V'chol hamamin, b'moshe rabbeinu, u'b'torah so, and anybody that believes in Moshe and his Torah, chayev lismoch ma'aseh hadas aleihen, has to rely on their rabbinic rulings, v'lishan aleihen, and to follow whatever they say.
So the question now comes to me is, are we talking about a majority or all 71 voting the same way?
So the Rambam said earlier that whenever you have a machlokas, even by Dinei Torah, even just by simply interpreting, the majority rules. So you could have, theoretically, 35 people disagreeing, but that's what the halacha is. So now, if we had to sum up, we have two rules, we have two functions of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. One is, I would say, it's not ceremonial, but one is as the representative, as the face of Adas Yisrael, and the other is essentially teaching the Jewish, is essentially teaching Adas Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik, and again, you could disagree, but the way Rav Soloveitchik wanted to differentiate between the two, he says that it doesn't even have to be the same body. He says that you could have a Sanhedrin HaGadol that's responsible for the, you know, political or you know, public face, and then you could have a whole other group of people that are paskening shilas. Now, that's obviously more to the extreme. Oftentimes, he agreed that it was one entity, but he says there are different rules that bind them. When it comes to the public's political policy stuff, so that's a fixed number. That is 71. When it comes to just teaching Torah, so there he says, maybe that's different. maybe teaching Torah, you could just, you know, it's very brisker in the sense that it's like when Rav Soloveitchik talks about, like, he says he has this dream that whenever he's in Shir, he always sees all the previous generations of people coming and learning with him. That's basically what he's saying over here, that whenever you're having a discussion about Torah, the majority still wins, but we can bring in anybody we want as long as they're able to substantively contribute to the conversation. So Rav Soloveitchik says that a par helem davar shel tzibur, that fits into the Torah portion, not the public policy portion, which again, you could disagree with. Like, I could very much formulate it the other way. But what Rav Soloveitchik wants to do to explain this Gemara in Horius is that, yeah, you have 100 people and that's not a problem. Why? Simply because they're not dictating policy. They're just trying to explain halacha. He uses this distinction to explain several other areas of Jewish law. One, which we'll do now, I don't think we'll get to all of them, but one is Kiddush HaChodesh. So if you turn to number 13, this talks about the halachos of sanctifying the new moon. So when it comes to the new moon, the Rambam paskins, Kol she'amarnu mikvias rosh chodesh al hara'iya v'ibur hashana mipnei hazman o mipnei hatzorech. So anything that we've spoken about up until now about sanctifying the new moon based on identifying it or adding another month because we need to or because of the way the seasons fall out, ein osin ela sanhedrin she'be'eretz Yisrael. We can only do that with a court in the land of Israel. O based in hasmuchin be'eretz Yisrael, or based in that have smicha from Eretz Yisrael. Shenasno lehen hasanhedrin rishus, that was given permission by the Sanhedrin Hagadol, basically, and then he brings psukim to support that. But if you go down to the second to last line, Avo Bizman she'ain sham Sanhedrin be'eretz Yisrael, but now that we don't, ain kovin chodesh ve'ain ma'abrin shana ela b'cheshbon zeh. We can only do this by cheshbon. Yeah, we can only do this by having a calculation. Now, the Ramban, in his arguments to the Sefer HaMitzvos in source number 14, he disagrees. He says, "V'hateima min harav ki hu amar shehamitzvah hazos lo yaseh osa elu lebeis din hagadol." I don't understand how the Rambam says that you can only do this with a beis din hagadol in Eretz Yisrael. V'hine davar bar v'yaduahu shebeis din hagadol batal me'eretz Yisrael. We know historically from the Gemara that the beis din hagadol was discontinued for many years, va'afilu kodem hachorban, even before the beis hamikdash was destroyed. Shelo haya behen beis din hagadol v'imkein hadavar lo hayuchol l'kadosh al pi ha'ra'iya mizman ha'arba'im shana kodem hachorban. The Gemara says that 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin HaGadol disbanded, and yet we know from the Gemara itself that for years following the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we still were Makadesh al pi hara'iya. So the Ramban says basically the Rambam is wrong, and it must be that you don't need the Supreme Court to be Makadesh the Chodesh. Now, Rav Soloveitchik asked, he asked Akasha on the Rambam. If you look in the Rambam, in source number 15, the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin says that there is a prohibition against cursing leaders of Klal Yisrael. It says, "Kol hamakal el dayon midayona Yisrael over below sase." Anybody who curses a judge of Klal Yisrael is over in a low sase. Shenemar Elohim lo sekalel. V'chein im kilel hanasi, and even if you curse a nasi, echad rosh Sanhedrin Hagadol, or whether that nasi, whether that leader is the Sanhedrin Hagadol, o hamelech, or the king. So whether it's a religious or political leader, you are over a low sase. The Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah, on that pasuk, in source number 16, he says, v'lonis ba'er, im yikanes bichlal hanasi rosh sanhedrin gedola shenikru nasi. It doesn't say in the Torah explicitly whether the nasi refers to the head of the Sanhedrin. V'harav Rabbi Moshe, so the Rambam, Omar, shehu bichlal hazharazu. He says that it is. V'chein nirali, and I agree. How do I know this? He has a raya also from a Gemara in Horios. So this is from the political section. from like the political stories. Mimasha shol Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi al Atzmo. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi asked a question about himself. So he asked this person, Rabbi Chiya. Bo minei mi Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi asked Rabbi Chiya, kigon ani mahu b'sa'ir. So I'm not the Sanhedrin, but there's as we'll see, there's another karban about that the leader, a prince, has to bring. He says, what about me? Do I fit in that category? And so what does he say? He says, Amar le, no. Why? Hare tzartcha b'bavel. You have an analog, you have a cognate in Bavel, known as the Reish Galusa, the exile arc, who also had both some political and religious leadership authority on par with Rav Yehuda Hanasi. V'im kain, and therefore, Yomar lotar kol nasi ba'am shehu rosh srara klal Yisrael. Bein shetiyah srara hi b'memshelas malchus. So the Ramban says it doesn't matter whether it's religious or political, as long as you're a leader. But what do we see? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out this story, right? So this happened after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's coming at it from a head of the Sanhedrin perspective, and they're saying, no, why? Because you have somebody, you have a religious leader in Bavel that's on par with you. So he asks, Rav Soloveitchik asks according to the Ramban. The Ramban agrees in principle that the Beis Din HaGadol was effectively discontinued after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and even before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he has to jump through hoops to explain why Kiddush HaChodesh wasn't done or doesn't require a Beis Din. And yet, we have this story, hundreds of years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that the head of the Sanhedrin at that time, even though it wasn't the Sanhedrin HaGadol, could theoretically be a candidate for this type of karban. And the only reason why it's not is because he's not the supreme commander, basically. So Rav Soloveitchik asks, how does it go both ways? What's the difference between Kiddush HaChodesh and the leader making a mistake? So once again, he explains that Kiddush HaChodesh has to do with the ceremonial role of the court as being part of Klal Yisrael's leadership. That's what the Beis Din is doing. The Beis Din is acting as the ambassador of the Jewish people. As opposed to this Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's question, he's not asking at it as the ambassador of Klal Yisrael. He's asking it as the teacher of Klal Yisrael. So that persists because that's part of the Torah role of the Sanhedrin. Okay, we have another minute or two. Yes, that's what Rav Soloveitchik is doing. That's the political side. Okay. So the only problem with this is actually something that we already saw. What? Okay, we'll get there. We have a whole Masechta to do. Don't worry, we'll get there. But we already saw a Rambam that seems to throw a little bit of a wrench into Rav Soloveitchik's position. There was a Rambam that we saw, I think it was the first one that we saw. If you go back to source number 9, Rav Lichtenstein points this out, that there seems to be a little bit of a wrench here. The wrench is, based in Hagadol, Shabbalah Hamachlokes, Bein Bedine Nefashos, Bein Bedine Mamanos, Bein Bedine Torah. Ein Mosifin. So he points out that Rav Soloveitchik's, you know, nice little framework here doesn't exactly work. I mean, it's very nice if it could, and there seems to be two roles that the Sanhedrin has, but it doesn't answer our question. The Rambam still says that even when it comes to the Talmud Torah stuff, there seems to be a problem. So that's one issue. And just to further accentuate it, if you go down to source number 18, so this is another Rambam in the Halachos of Sanhedrin about who's allowed to be a judge. So, Ein Ma'amidin B'Sanhedrin. Ella Kohanim Levim V'Yisraelim Hamiyuchasim Hamruyim L'Hasi Lakuna. We only appoint to the court Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim of proper lineage who are able to marry off daughters to Kohanim. Who is not able to? A ger or a mamzer. So if you look in source number 19, this is based on Pirkei Avos. It's the Rambam's introduction to Mishneh Torah. He says, Shmaya v'av talyon, who were the Av Beis Din and the Nasi, Geirei Tzedek. He proves from a Gemara that the Gemara says that they were descendants of Sancheira, but that doesn't mean they're converts. It could be that they many generations. The Rambam, for whatever reason, seems to take it that literally that they were actually converts. And so all the Mefarshim ask, well, the Rambam just tied himself into a pickle over here. So how does that work? So there you seem to have the head of the Sanhedrin not being able to even run his own court over here. So what Rav Soloveitchik wants to answer is that, yeah, you basically, they were running the court, but not really running it. They were running the court when it came to conducting Torah study, but when it came to actual political stances, they had to step down. That's how Rav Soloveitchik answers. But it doesn't sound like that. It doesn't really sound like that. The Rambam says, like, who's a kosher member to be on the court? Somebody that's kosher member. So
But you know very well, in the Me'az Aliyat Islam, they kipidu ala mishpachot. There was so much differentiation for hundreds of years.
Yes.
Mamash sectarian.
They were knifing themselves in the back.
So yeah, they were very careful about yichus. So this is what I want to.
Yes,
so
completely, mamash section by section. When I learned that, it's amazing.
Yeah, so they were very makpid about it. So what Rav Lichtenstein, you know, he's the Rav's son-in-law, so he really wants to keep Rav Soloveitchik's dialectic or the two roles. But he's like, I can't ignore these Rambams over here. What do I do? So the Minchas Chinuch and Rav Yonasan Eibshitz in his commentary to Choshen Mishpat, he brings down this question about Shmaya Vavtalion.
Yeah.
So he gives an answer, which is also interesting and seems to echo what we mentioned earlier about sort of packing the court. He says, "V'yesh lomar." If you turn to the last page. He says, "V'yesh lomar de'lefi ma de'amrinan b'sanhedrin." He brings down a gemara in Sanhedrin. De'im echad mehatalmidim. If one of the talmidim, meaning you had people that were sort of observing and learning from the judges when they were judging, omer de'yesh lo lulmod zchus. If one guy says, "Oh, I can help this guy out and save him from being killed," malin oso umoshivin oso beinehem. They appoint him as a judge. V'lo hayoyored misham kol hayom kulo, and he doesn't step down for the rest of the day. V'imken kol oso hayom yesh lo deya behora kesanhedrin. And so Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says, "Well, according to this, you could just theoretically pack the court by just, you know, appointing people temporarily." And then he expands it and saying, well, if this guy's really good, we should never bring him down. And he'll just sit there quietly. So he's not going to sit there, you know, just like so, you know, just with his mouth shut. He's going to talk and he's going to share his opinion. And they're not going to say, "Oh, we got too many members, you got to go down." And so we're not going to depose somebody. So if we have a 71 member court and there's one guy in the audience that really knows what he's talking about, they're not going to kick off one of the other members. He says, that doesn't make any sense. We're not going to kick off one guy so we can appoint this other person. So we'll have extra. If you have 30 people that decide to talk and share their mind, you could also say that. So that's how you could have 100 people. So he has this idea where you can appoint members either temporarily or for extended periods of time that are part of the discussion and are, you know, we listen to them, but they don't vote. Or maybe he says that they vote.
Well, yeah,
but
they're expert witnesses. Gabe, are you an expert witness?
No.
So the Tumim seems to say that they may actually get a vote. Rav Lichtenstein doesn't want to go that far, especially when you have the Rambam saying that they don't get a vote. So what Rav Lichtenstein and the Menchas Chinuch, and again, you could read the Tumim this way also, that we have more people in the Torah discussion, but we don't count their votes. Now, if you say that, now we have something really interesting, which is, even when somebody is not part of the actual vote, as long as they're part of the discussion, as long as they're part of the Eda, they also need to be completely unanimous in the decision in order for Klal Yisrael to bring a Karban, which is crazy. Meaning, I might think that, okay, if it's the ruling body, okay, so the ruling body needs to be in complete agreement in order to be liable for a Karban. According to the Tumim, according to the Minchas Chinuch, according to the way we would answer the Rav Soloveitchik, according to the Rambam, you can have all these auxiliary people that aren't even part of the official count that still all need to be in agreement.
They don't have a vote, but they have a veto.
Right, they have a veto power on bringing this Karban. Why on earth should that be? And in fact, we're not going to see it inside. The Nitziv, in source number 22, he says that's why we have this thing called Heter Meir Rabbanan in order to get...
Remember a number of years, they said,
so we're not talking about a woman here. We're talking about a man.
The principle of 100.
Yeah, so he... So he says that, how do we overturn the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom? He says, we get 100. Why? So the Chassam Sofer says, because you're going to have to find you know how hard it is to find 100 Jews to sign on to something? So it's to slow the process down. But the Nitziv says, no, why would we want to slow it down? It's that we want to get an entire body, a whole colloquium of people. So why is it important to have a colloquium of people that even aren't part of the court for this Karban? It must be that Adas Yisrael doesn't mean just being the face of Klal Yisrael, like the ceremonial position. Adas Yisrael means that there's a link between the entire Jewish people and the Torah discussion that happens. And the Torah discussion that happens isn't limited to 71 people. It's whoever the Sanhedrin admit as part of the Jewish people to help talk this Torah out. So
it's very nice what you're saying. So how are we going to make a decision?
So again, you don't often bring this Karban, but... So we don't often bring in this car. We don't often bring this Karban.
The second question to you: you learn how many times you find the Gemara that has to be a unanimous decision? I'm asking.
I don't know the statistics. So I don't know the statistics, but what we.
No, but every other decision of the Sanhedrin. Whether it's a court of three, you need a majority.
So what it's saying over here is that it's not for this thing. Why? Because it's essentially a mass of Klal Yisrael. It's just a very educated mass of Jewish people.
It's nice what you said. It's very nice that all of us have the language.
Well, hold on, not you. You're not included.
Okay, fine. Decision has to be made.
Yes, so the Torah is saying that in the event that everybody agrees, if everybody agrees, and we'll see in coming weeks what happens when somebody disagrees. We'll see what happens later. We'll see in future weeks what happens when somebody disagrees. But it's important that this mesechta of making a mistake talks about when it's the entire Klal Yisrael and not the Sanhedrin alone. Now, thank you very much, and Meretz Hashem, we'll continue next week with what psak is. That's the next big question, which is, okay, now we identified what a beis din is. Next week, we'll do, what is psak? Have a good week, everyone. Okay.